Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Jim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Jim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who's covered the NBA for over two decades, and more specifically the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
Hey, this is Tim Kawakami here to host Giants Plus Minus. Maybe not Giants Plus Minus. It has been discussed for there to be a Giants Plus Minus. If there is a Giants Plus Minus in the branding of all this great Plus Minus world, it will not include me. But let's do a kind of a fake Giants Plus Minus with the one, the only, the San Francisco Standard's own John Shea, Giants writer, baseball writer at large, eminence. Youngster, up-and-coming youngster. I was telling someone who was praising John Shea. I said, yeah, we got this up-and-comer John Shea. I think he might turn out to be something one of these days. We'll see. We're going to talk all things Giants. We're going to, obviously, the Rafael Devers trade. We're going to get, obviously, in a very lovely piece that John just wrote about his friend, really, Willie Mays, who died 1 year ago today. One of the great ties to, you know, just universal sports, that a legend of God, Willie Mays, and John was one of the closest journalists to him. So let's talk about that later. Let's get into the Devers stuff. Obviously, that's the huge news. That's why we're doing this extra Giants Plus Minus TK Show, whatever this is today. We're doing this on Wednesday morning, the morning after Devers's intro presser, his debut at Oracle. Obviously, that place was live. He strikes out twice, but also rips a double in the triples alley and also singles in the ninth. It was on base. They could have tried to tie it or win it. John Shea, we had so much going on. The presser was a huge deal. The game was a huge deal. Getting an idea of where he's going to play is a big deal. What do you lock on for one or two points right off the bat the morning after the intro of Devers? We've now had a couple of days to soak in the actual trade, but what are you thinking of right off the top of your head?
Yeah, what a day. What a whirlwind for this guy. He comes in and doesn't really know a whole lot of people in the organization, doesn't know many of his teammates at all, played against him from the other end. When I asked him, you know, who do you know, he kind of said, well, I'm getting to know Willie Adames, and he was thrilled to have met Barry Bonds and Buster Posey. And we, you know, we're here all the time. We see them all the time. But hey, he's on the other side of the country, and he comes in, different division, different league, and thoroughly impressed, genuinely impressed with Barry Bonds sitting in the front row of the news conference. Buster Posey sitting right next to him at the news conference, both glowing about him. And it was when somebody asked about Bonds, you know, Bonds smiled to him. Devers smiled back at Bonds. I mean, it was like, it's like two kids in a playground. Hey, let's go play, you know, let's go hang out. Let's have a play date. And then after the game, when Devers is asked about Bonds, Devers said, oh, I was not really all that confident about going up to him and talking to him yet. Maybe one day I'll have more confident and I'll be more comfortable to talk with the man. And, you know, I guess Barry Bonds pretty imposing for a lot of people who don't know him. Of course, he's the home run king. And it was pretty surreal the whole day. And, you know, you take away moments in the press conference. I thought Buster had a couple of good ones.
Yep. I mean, the dude, he's a dude. You take away all the analytics. You look at other, is this guy a dude? And this guy is a dude.
Right.
I was very pithy for Buster.
And then, you know, Devers repeatedly was asked about the ballpark. Not many lefties have had a lot of success at this ballpark. Most home runs Brandon Belt ever hit was 13. Bonds is the only left-handed batter at that ballpark to hit more than 13 home runs in a season. He did it five times, 37 home runs in one of the years. Obviously, the year he hit 73. But anyway, it was funny when asked about the ballpark and, you know, the challenges lefties face, and you know, he kept saying, "Hey, you know, I'm, you know, baseball's baseball," and then Buster kind of chimed in and said, "Hitters hit."
Yep.
That's all he said, hitters hit.
Yep.
Well, he actually said hitters hit, comma, John, because I was one of the guys asking the question. But anyway, another Buster gem was when Rafael kept being asked about Boston and what went wrong in Boston and, you know, how come it didn't work out in Boston and why was this such a one-sided trade and, you know, why didn't, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he kept saying, you know, I'll do whatever they want me to do here. I'll play wherever they want me to do here. And the Buster chimes in again and says, I love his answers.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you're right. He just, you know, 2 for 5 with just a ferocious hard hit double to right center. And I asked him, you know, it was Triple's Alley. It did bounce around there a little bit. A couple outfielders pursued it. And I said, were you ever thinking triple? I mean, it's Triple's Alley, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where Doug Mirabelli hit a ball once and got a triple. But he said, no, I was thinking double all the way. I said, okay, all right.
Yeah. Well, he's not the fastest guy, and that ball did kind of kick right back to the outfielder.
It was hit so hard, right.
Yeah, it did, like, kind of – you don't normally get that hard bounce right back to the outfielder. But, yeah, I mean, someone else might have gotten a triple or tried, but he's not going to be – that's part of the question, right, and maybe one of the reasons why Boston got off of him, one of many reasons. He's not the most – he's not the biggest guy, and he's not the most athletic guy. And, you know, at 28, who knows how that will age. But you know what? In a world where the NL has DH, I think he's going to be able to hit for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's like I compared him to Edgar Martinez. Now, he's, you know, Edgar Martinez is at a whole other level as a hitter. But they'll take a version of Edgar Martinez for the next 8 years, won't they, Sean? Like if they can just bake that in and figure out around that, they'll take it.
And you got to remember, say, wow, you're taking on this huge contract that lasts forever. Well, he's 28, and the contract runs through age 36. It's really not that long. You look at the Padres and the Dodgers. I mean, Machado and Bogarts are signed through age 41.
Hmm.
And Betts, age 40. Freeman, 38. Otani, 39. Giants don't have those guys. They have some long-term contracts now. But to be signed through 40, 41 is kind of ridiculous because you're paying on the front end and just – praying on the back end. But for a DH who, you know, they say he'll play first base and he's going to take some grounders, you know, every day here to see if he's worthy. They might just say, you know, let's scrap this. Let's make him a DH period. Dom Smith and Wilmer Flores can handle the defense over at first. Let's just have this guy feel comfortable the rest of the season as a DH. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that because then he can just focus on hitting. I mean, he just hasn't picked up a glove at all. Boston mm-hmm. made him a full-time DH this year, and he, you know, that was probably, you know, much of the issue. You know, first they took third base away from him when they signed Bregman, and then they said, hey, well, our first baseman got hurt. Can you play first? He said, wait a minute. You just took my position away, and you want me to play DH, and I haven't picked up a glove. Now you want me to play first base for the first time in my professional career? Mm-hmm. He said, no dice. And therefore, the friction ensued, and he was traded to San Francisco. But in San Francisco, Buster Posey, who's this great communicator, maybe not as, you know, Craig Breslow in Boston and the ownership, they didn't have that communication skill that Buster has. And it's warm and fuzzy here right now. So he's doing what they say. And they got Bryce Eldridge waiting in the wings, maybe opening day first baseman next year. And if so, that confirms that this newcomer will be the DH maybe forever. But it would be fascinating to see him play first base at some point this year. And what if he plays first base against Boston Friday, yeah. Saturday, or Sunday? Wouldn't that be a kick?
That would be amazing. I doubt it, but yeah, that would be something. A couple things on that just strikes me. By the way, what position did Buster Posey debut at when he was a rookie, which he had not played in his career? First base. That's okay. Where he debuted, right? Because they had Benji Molina.
And he was a shortstop early in college, and he was a closer in college.
And a catcher, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's made that transition briefly, so maybe he can have that conversation. And also, I just thought it was notable when asked about Eldridge, Posey said yes, and this is something I've talked about with Devers. Like, we've talked about it. Like, it's not going to be a surprise. I think just talking to some people yesterday that the Red Sox thing went bad when they signed Bregman. Like, that was like that came out of the blue. He was not prepared for that. Mm-hmm. And I think everything spiraled from there. Now, that happened. Bregman's a really good player. He's a better third baseman than Devers. But you could see kind of that ricocheting around and that leading to the first base. If you say I can't field, then why all of a sudden do you need me to field first base? And the Giants are doing their best to avoid that, And John, I'm sure you've heard the same things I've heard about Eldridge playing first base right now. It's not good. So it's possible that Eldridge is their DH long term. So a lot of different things I think are at play, but it was just an interesting move. Like, you know, rarely do you have a big moment like this in the middle of the season. I think that's what felt different. Like, the players were there. They would not be there if this was a huge offseason signing. You know, Carlos Correa, if he had had that presser in that same room, there wouldn't have been teammates there, right? Because there's nobody around in the offseason. That made a difference. All the team employees, we couldn't see the woman on the balcony, but she's talking to Adames while he's talking, whatever the hell that was. Different energy in there. It tells you, I think, how much they really wanted and needed and felt this, and how the vibe is different with Buster. We can talk a little bit just generally, you know, versus the Zaidi era. I know they don't want to keep harping on this, but I think they're keep implying this huge difference with the Zaidi era, right? I mean, this feels like something that they had kind of wanted to do for years. You tell me if I'm wrong. And they kind of felt like Farhan wasn't capable of doing something like this, or didn't want to do something like this, or was just like not able to make that kind of swing. Do you think there's some kind of subliminal or even more than that vibes coming from this move, from that moment with the Giants?
Well, speaking with Greg Johnson yesterday, and I spoke with him after the news conference, he basically said, hey, not to bash on Farhan, but I 100% agree with the way Buster is conducting business, in that you hire people and let them do their job. In other words, Bob Melvin is the manager. It's okay if he draws up the lineup. It's okay if he decides what relief pitcher to come in. And granted, he will send it to the higher-ups, and they will sign off on it. But he has a lot more freedom and autonomy to run a game, to call a game, than he has in a long time. And I think he's really digging it. His work in the bullpen has been very, very good, I think. It's the best bullpen in the majors so far, ERA-wise. And, you know, he's pressed the right buttons. You could argue, what about this, what about that? But with an offense that has been averaging, just a few runs every game, it puts a lot of stress on the manager, and a lot of fingers can be easily pointed. But he's enjoying it, and I think the ownership is enjoying it, and everybody in the front office I hear from is enjoying the presence of Buster Posey, because he's so darn easy to work with. Sometimes it was challenging to communicate with Farhan from different departments. He wouldn't get back to you right away. Buster gets back to you right away. If you have a question, he will be there, and he's often there in person. I wrote the big story about his booth.
Yep.
Zach Manajian suggested tearing down the wall, like Gorbachev and Reagan, because there were two little booths. You tear down the wall. Hey, we got eight seats here. We can all be together. We can discuss business during a game. Think of it. And, you know, it just wasn't done under Farhan. It wasn't done under Sabian, you know, and it wasn't done under Bobby Evans. But now you have two booths that are now one booth, and there's a lot of camaraderie there. And I sat in a little bit for the purpose of that story, as did our photographer. And there was a lot of closeness and respect and admiration and trust, which you know translates, you know, in good communication, and that goes to the manager and the coaches and the players. So yeah, I think it's a huge difference, and that matters. And I think continuity matters with the lineup and the roster. You don't have a new guy showing up every day. Who's that guy in the corner wearing 67, and where does he play? And you just don't see that. There have been some injuries that have been forced to make roster moves, but in you know, for the most part, Buster likes his guys, and his guys like being liked.
Yeah, it's very team-like, right? It feels like he's got a clubhouse, right? A front office clubhouse. And we know he flourished in the clubhouse environment. Mm-hmm. And it does, it just, a lot of different things strike me. Again, doesn't mean it's all better, but it means that they are feeling comfortable. Buster's an owner too. Like, you know, he's talking about, hey, can ownership approve this contract? Well, Buster's part of that, right? I mean, doesn't mean they're all going to say, do whatever, Buster, go ahead and pay him $700 million. But he's part of it. I think there's security there. I think he's just naturally a secure person. He really is. You just don't have him worried about other things. Like, even until, like, he signed a 3-year deal. You asked Greg Johnson about that yesterday. It's a 3-year deal. Like, that goes pretty fast. I think we know that 3-year deals go fast. He's already almost one third of the way through mm-hmm. it. But he's not like, hey, give me another 3-year deal. Give me 7. Right. Like, he wasn't that. It's like, hey, it doesn't work after 3. Like, I'll go. Yeah. And I think it eases you to take risks like this. Oh, just one thing. I think Brian Sabian, who you mentioned, is a huge kind of guiding force for these guys. I think Buster really respected Sabian. Have you talked to Sabian at all recently, or what do you think kind of the Sabian effects are on this front office?
You know, we've heard Buster how many times refer to the Sabian administration, and I like the way right here on this podcast he talked about the Carlos Beltran trade and Zach Wheeler, and that was extremely revealing. And if you heard that when you posted it, you would have realized, hey, you know, something could get done here. Maybe like sooner rather than later. And it sure did.
I thought that when he said it to me, it's like, whoa, something's going to happen. But right. I didn't know it was going to be this, but go ahead.
But you don't hear Buster Posey drawing up Farhan's time. No. It's always what Buster did. And obviously Sabian was here longer. It was always what Sabian did. Obviously, Sabian was here longer than Zaidi, and he had a lot more success. Zaidi, 1 year out of 6, they were good. And the other 5, they were mediocre. And fans and owners were tired of mediocre. And so they made the change. They fired Farhan. They brought in Buster. And the mood's been a lot different. We haven't seen one opener. We've seen a lot less platooning. And it's kind of normalcy throughout the ranks. And he draws from Buster because he appreciated as a player when you play April, May, June, and July that, hey, he's bringing in reinforcements because he believes in our team. He feels our team could be good and better and maybe playoff driven. So when he brought in relievers in 10 and Pence and you know, in 12, in 14,
Scudero, right?
Marco Scudero at 2nd and Hunter Pence. Those were two dramatic additions. And then in 14, Bumgarner did it on his own, but but he made changes in 14. So every year, and even in 11, when Buster got hurt and they were looking to do something, that's when he dealt Wheeler for Beltran, a 2-month rental. But this ain't no rental. The beauty of this is he's in his prime, and I would suggest it's the biggest superstar in his prime who was added to this team since Bonds.
I mean, you know, you mentioned that Farhan did get Chris Bryant mm-hmm. for that 2021 stretch, but he was a lesser player by then. Yes. And I don't know what the hell the Rockies were doing for giving him the money that they did after that season, because it was clear even on the Giants that he didn't have the power anymore.
No.
And it was a very athletic swing that was not going to hold up. And guess what? It didn't hold up. But I want to give Farhan, you know, make sure we don't just kind of skip over some things. But it's right. It's this kind of star. I think he's the best hitter since Posey, right? Since Posey, maybe like early career Posey, because like 2021, you had Crawford having a career year. Mm-hmm. You had Buster having a great recovery year, and you had Belt hit 29 homers. But I think Devers is better than that. And it just changes the dynamic. It lengthens the lineup. I mean, do you think they're done? You think this is a pretty good offense right now, or where do you think they go from here?
If Buster follows the path of Brian Sabian, which he kind of has in many ways, he will bulk up the bullpen at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Remember, this trade, they lost virtually two relievers. Jordan Hicks, who went from the rotation to the bullpen and was maybe on his way to becoming a leverage guy once he ironed things out. And Harrison was pretty effective in the bullpen as a second lefty. So you remove those two guys, you have less of a bullpen, and now you have one lefty. And you know, how are things going to pan out from here? And Sabian always seemed to beef up the bullpen at the deadline with one or two guys. And this goes back to Roberto Hernandez, even though they had Rod Beck in the 90s. And they had dual closers, which kind of created some friction, especially with Beck. But it seems like he's never afraid to bring in relievers, because in the dog days of August and September, your rotation, you know, maybe more injury prone, kind of gassed out and ready to maybe need a lot more support from the bullpen. And the bullpen needs to step up a lot late in the season. So I wouldn't be surprised. You know, maybe not a hitter. They even though they scored just a couple of runs in the debut of Devers, I imagine the offense is going to kick into gear a little bit more. But I think he might concentrate on that bullpen just to follow Brian Sabian's model.
Interesting. And yeah, you can see it. And here's the question. I mean, Harrison was starting. So what do they, they use the off day to try to cover that? Or is Verlander going to drop into that spot? They talked at all about what the plans there are. John?
Yeah. Yeah. Because Verlander is ready to go game two. So he'll go as we speak tonight.
Oh, really? Okay. I missed that. Verlander. Yeah. So much is happening. I missed that. Verlander's going to start.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So, I was looking, I go, well, how's Dominic Smith pinch hitting? Daniel Johnson last night. How is he pinch hitting? I go, didn't they release him? And they released him.
And then they put away. And now he's pinch hitting. because Encarnacion at the last minute went on the injured list and they brought him back. So I guess he never really left the clubhouse. No, he never got out of uniform. Much stuff happened. But, you know, on a normal day, that would be kind of pretty significant. Hey, yep. You know, Justin Verlander is coming back, you know, future Hall of Famer, first ballot guy. And when you look at the playoff rotation, you said, okay, I got two guys. I got Logan Webb and I got Robbie Ray. Okay, who's number three? Is Verlander going to step up here and not only maybe win games, but go 6-7 innings and give up three or fewer runs? Or is it going to be Hayden Birdsong, who they made sure not to trade for Devers? And, you know, so it'll be fascinating, you know, what if they make the playoffs, what the race will be like, who's number three in that rotation. And I think you want Verlander because he's been there so often, has been so good in the postseason. So I think they're really rooting for him to maybe turn it around and to become more reliable. He pitched a lot of winnable games. He just hasn't won one yet.
And he hasn't pitched great. I mean, he didn't just go out there.
Not like Verlander should. Yeah.
It's hilarious. I didn't even know. I kind of pay attention to this stuff, and I didn't even know Verlander was coming off the injured list and starting. That is wild. That is just such a classic sign of what's been going on last year. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a quote. Okay. Kyle Harrison, how valuable do you think he is? I mean, what kind of risk are they taking to trade Harrison? Do you think that was, you know, is it Zach Wheeler level? Where are you on what the value of Harrison was?
He's very likable, and I'm sure they would root for him to become Wheeler level. but I kind of feel for that guy. I mean, here's a guy who was offered a full ride out of De La Salle High School to UCLA, you know, to become like an ace for the Bruins. Giants picked him in the third round, offered him first round money not to go to UCLA. And he said, okay, spoke with his family, his agent, whatever. And he said, okay, hometown team. I can like that. You know, I'm staying close to home when, or if I make the majors, my family can just, you know, commute here and watch me pitch every time. So at 23, he's traded not only out of the division, out of the league, but across the country and right away sent to the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. So Andrew Bailey is our pitching coach in Boston. He had Bailey here in San Francisco. He right away was quoted as saying, hey, I love Harry. I want to work with Harry. We're gonna make Harry a superstar. So, you know, good for Harrison that he has a support group already. And everyone talks about, hey, he needs a secondary pitch. He's got his velo back up to high 90s. But what else can he do? Major league hitters are too good to sit on, you know, to have a pitcher throw 98 and expect, you know, outs every time if you don't have that secondary pitch. So he's working on that stuff, and he will in AAA. And it'd be fun to see his progression. I mean, he's going to be around for another 10 years, I hope. We hope.
And, I mean, he's a lefty with good stuff. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, how many lefties throw that hard and are that young? And so the he's got a world of potential and good cat. You root for him, but it's kind of funky, you know, for him and his family the way it turned out. He was hoping to be a Giant for a long time. He said all the right things. I hate the Dodgers. I love the Giants. I came here as a kid. You know, I grew up watching Posey and all these guys, and now he's gone.
That's a great point. I just think he got passed up. And end of last season, I think last season was weird, right? He was going to be a guy coming out of spring training and gets sent down in the minors, has some issues. And then I just thought it was a tell. He comes to spring training and he was late a week or two in his recovery. And they just immediately said, Birdsong's ahead of him, Roop's ahead of him. Like, just boom, you are behind these guys. And I thought that was a tell, whether that's a misevaluation or not. I happen to agree with it, certainly on Birdsong. But I just think if they were moving towards thinking he was available to be traded, and he's certainly the left-handedness, the size, the fastball makes him valuable. But I think he got passed. I think that's what happened. And if they were going to make a move, it was going to be using him. James Tibbs, recent first-round pick. I mean, I'd heard that he was not looking good in the minors. Is there value there that they're giving up?
I mean, I don't know how much value is there. I think it's a trade they felt they had to make. And there were other teams in on it, Atlanta, San Diego, Toronto. But apparently no other team was saying, we'll pick up the entire contract.
Yeah.
$250 million plus. We'll pay it all. So by the Giants paying it all, they didn't have to give up Eldridge or Wisenhunt or Birdsong. And they weren't going to do that anyway. But by paying it all off, Boston was more willing to accept Tibbs and Hicks and, you know, the low level minor leaguer along with Harrison. So I think nationally people are saying, you know, what a steal for the Giants. Locally, it's, oh, you know, too bad Harrison's gone. But man, we got our best hitter since Bonds, maybe since Buster, as you mentioned, left handed side, definitely Bonds. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong that he's only a DH. There's nothing wrong with any turmoil he experienced in Boston. I mean, how did Jimmy Butler pan out when he left Miami for the Warriors? Yep. Pretty good. Helped turn that team around. And, you know, that's, you know, maybe a lesson is learned. You know, they admire each other from afar. Steve Kerr, Buster Posey, and Dunleavy and Melvin, you know, they follow each other. They kind of respect each other absolutely. From afar. So maybe they learned something from that. And, you know, Buster did his due diligence, spoke with a lot of people in the industry, had his lieutenants do the same. And he came away thinking, this guy's a good teammate. He plays every day. He's got a lot of energy. He could help us. Maybe he's not a great defender. We won't put him at a corner right away. But he's going to hit third in our lineup, and we don't have a three hitter. We don't have a power lefty like him, and we haven't had one for years.
Yeah, I do think And my thing on that is the Red Sox tend to move on from their players. Like, their good players don't stay there. And you can't just say every player is the same, but Mookie Betts couldn't stay there. Bogarts couldn't stay there. And now it's Devers. Like, if there's something there that I would not be as worried about controversy for a young player who's a really good player in Boston. Jimmy Butler's just like Miami. The players always like Miami. So that was a weird one, but you just had to understand where he was and Dunleavy did play with him. So we'll see on this, but like he's under contract. Like under contract. That's just the way it is. And that's like people were saying, like, how did he not have a no trade clause? Like, you would just think a $313 million deal, 10 years, you would have a no trade clause in there. That's a bizarre one. I was confused at how he did not get that no trade clause, but all good there. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, you saw the players there. Like, that was interesting. And I think Devers was moved by that. I know Buster was. That all goes with them. They're all ready to work out, so it worked out for that. But it's they're coming out of the routine. They were very lively for a John Shea question, but it just get players at a presser. You don't know what they're going to yell some things. They're going to be interested. I thought it was just a good vibe to that, and just a sign, I think, that the players want this to work. The front office wants this to work. The people in headquarters who are just, you know, kind of rooting for the team want this to work. It was more of a cheerleading session than I was expecting, but it maybe that tells you about where this team is.
Yeah, it's not your usual news conference when people cheer. I mean, you looked around the room, there wasn't one reporter cheering. That's not what we do. We're not fans. We don't root for teams. We root for angles, but we don't, you know, root for teams. We're objective. So at this one, maybe five people asked, you know, what happened in Boston? Mm-hmm. My mistake, my crime was I was the first to ask what happened in Boston. And right away, I think you were closer to the players than I was. But I was kind of focusing on my question and his answer. But apparently there was some heckling going on after I asked.
Yes.
I said, you know, what went wrong in Boston that made them move you, and what will go right for you in your mind in San Francisco? Just comparing.
Yes, very fair. Very fair question.
What happened over there? Yeah. You heard it.
Yeah. They were already. Quiz question already. I know who the players were, but I'm not going to say because I'm not 100% sure. But that's all right. It wasn't like mean-spirited.
Yeah.
It just was like they were acting like players in a clubhouse, not necessarily at a press conference. Fine. They were showing support.
Definitely.
The really funny thing is he answers like, hey, I'm moving on, whatever. And they go, yeah. They're like, oh, what a brave answer. You got him. Come on.
And then guys, from there, they cheered every answer.
Yes.
Thereafter.
Yes. So, well, and the front office and people from
the office. For sure. good for them. I mean, this is special. This is special, dude. Are you kidding me?
It was an amplification of what the emotion was. So that's, we always like that, right? It's something that allows us to understand what the emotions were. I just love that we weren't in Boston. You're not the Red Sox worried about the sensitivity of this. He's just been traded. So like, you're not commenting. This isn't a comment on your team. It's a comment on your team being better than the other one. That part was amusing.
I just tried to frame it as, hey, you know, this is seems like a better situation, right? Yeah. Let's compare and contrast.
Yeah, it was funny again. It was reminding, like, you get players in a presser, you don't know what's going to happen because they start treating it like it's a clubhouse.
Yeah.
And that's fair. That's their place, but it was different.
In spring training, when the A's signed Lawrence Butler to a long-term deal, the whole team came out on the field, and the press conference was in right field in Mesa, his position.
Okay.
So there was two or three rows of chairs for, I don't know, eight media members, including myself. And I look to my left and the whole roster is there.
Mm.
So, I mean, I love it. You know, that means, hey, we support this guy making big coin and we appreciate he's going to be here for a long time. And it was odd that the A's were a team that did that because, you know, John Fisher hasn't spent and doesn't spend unless he has to, unless the CBA tells him, hey, you're not going to get revenue sharing unless you have a payroll over $100 million. Then suddenly he says, okay, now I suddenly have money to spend.
Yes.
Imagine that.
Oh my! Hey, you got 8,600 at their stadium last night. So John, so you know things are going really well for John Fisher's A's. It was an interesting. A lot of stuff was interesting about. Yes, it will be interesting. We got the series against the Red Sox starting Friday. I will be there for that game. I just think things are notched up. Things are. Like, there's moments now. And what did Buster Posey say at his introductory presser that struck us all? Memory-making business. And it just seemed odd coming from him because, you know, he wasn't that guy who was gesticulating and look at me and look at this moment. But you talk to people in the front office, they say he really, really is invested in that. Mm-hmm. That fans like stars, as he said at the presser yesterday, fans want to say, I was here when Devers did this. I was here when Logan Webb did this, and I can tell my kids about it, and they could tell and then tell my grandkids about it. You could just see that in this move. I want to make a move that people are going to be talking about for years and years and years. And when and if the Giants win a World Series and Devers is hitting three home runs in that series, they can say, yeah, I remember when they made that trade. And that's affecting, like, tells you about where the state of this franchise and the guy running it. That really hit me yesterday. Did it hit you, John?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yes, Buster doesn't need this. Buster doesn't need the glory. He's been there, done that. He doesn't need the money. He's got plenty. He doesn't need his name on the marquee or on a billboard or on a bus. This is Buster Posey team. Look at me. Look at this. I mean, he's not that guy. He doesn't have that ego. He's fine. He's probably going to the Hall of Fame. He will have my vote.
I think he'll go, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's a first ballot. Joe Mauer went as a first
that's
ballot.
That's a good comp. That's a very good comp.
Yep. Hey, and he'll be eligible, a year and a half from now. So I think that everyone realizes he is genuinely doing this for the betterment of baseball, for the betterment of San Francisco, and for the betterment of the Giants. And if it weren't for him, who knows who would have been in this position, but you talk to so many people under him and they all say there's nobody else who could have stepped into this chair sat in this chair and come anywhere close to what he's done for the culture of the clubhouse, culture of the front office, the culture of the ballpark. And, you know, in Buster we trust, right? We saw him on the field. He was the leader behind the plate for 10, 12, and 14, the three titles, the common denominator, the guy who worked with all those star pitchers, the guy who hit in the middle of the lineup, the guy who won a gold glove and silver sluggers and all those all-star appearances. I mean, he was the guy, more than anybody else, probably deserves a statue among all those players on those teams. And now he's in the front office. I mean, we always knew how smart he was and how calculated he was. And you always had to have your A game when you went to his locker after a game to ask him questions. He didn't necessarily like the cameras or the tape recorders. He liked the guys who were around every day who would ask him baseball questions. But now he's got the cameras. You know, he has to play that role. He has to be on NBC Sports California in one-on-ones. And he has to sit in the radio booth and the TV booth after a big move like this, as he did during Devers, you know, debut game. So it's fascinating for me to having followed him from draft day to retirement, to the comeback on the board of directors, to baseball ops president, to making these moves. It's just fascinating to see his development. A guy who left the game to be with his family
in Georgia. In Georgia,
yeah.
Oh, you mean during COVID.
Retired from the game as a player to be with his family, yet makes the biggest move in recent Giants history on Father's Day.
No, great point. Great point. Yeah, so many things we can get in there later. Just that I thought once Buster retired and went back to Georgia, I didn't think he was coming back, and he came right back. Like, that was huge. Like, that was a major decision, a personal decision. He and his family wanted to be back in California. And that was gigantic, it turns out, for the Giants organization. But we talk about superstars. We talk about legends. Got to talk about your relationship with Willie Mays, the greatest baseball player who ever lived. We'll just say it flat out. I don't think you and I are going to disagree about that one. And such an important presence, you know, of all his retired years in that clubhouse, Mike Murphy's room, players passing by, McCovey would be in there too. There'd be these greats, these immortals, but topping them all, of course, Willie Mays. This is 1 year since his passing, and it still has an effect in that franchise, right? People still talk about him like he's a living presence because he was around so much. Just, you know, you wrote that piece today. Very touching. Just what thoughts are in your mind, you know, 1 year after Willie's passing?
Well, I remember exactly where I was 1 year ago this moment. It was midday in Birmingham, and I had the pleasure to be with these Willie Mays scholars who are kids from San Francisco, the Willie Mays Foundation and the Giants Community Fund and some local scholars are assisting a pretty big group of teenage kids get through high school, get through college under the name of Willie Mays Scholars. So they were on the civil rights tour through Birmingham. And I was able to be in the bus and follow them to go to all the stops, 16th Street Church, where the four girls were killed in the early 60s, to the museums, to all these places, all these stops, you know, where bombings. I mean, it's just ridiculous how segregated and awful Birmingham was, not only in the 60s when Dr. Martin Luther King called it the most segregated city in America, but 30 years earlier when Willie Mays was born. Imagine how bad it was then. And imagine also how Willie Mays overcame all that, you know, the bigots, the racism, and always seemed to take the right path. Many of his friends didn't. Many of his family maybe didn't, but he did. And what an honor to have gotten to know him on an intimate basis and to have a trust that I was able to be in his inner circle. And he allowed me full access to write this book that came out in 2024, more than 100 hours of access at his home and in the suite at the ballpark at different events, Stanford Hospital, when I accompanied him once or twice. And a year ago today, we were all priming for this huge event in 2 days on June 20th. Basically, the Giants and Cardinals were in Rickwood Field, where Willie Mays played with the 48, 49, and 50 Birmingham Black Barons as a teenager, sophomore, junior, senior in high school. That's how young he was, playing with all these players in their 20s and 30s, all these Negro Leagues legends. And we're going to celebrate that in 2 days. At the end of the tour, and it was 5 or 6 hours, got back to the hotel, and we all learned. Malcolm Heineke, a good friend of Willie's, gave me a call, and I just couldn't believe it. I said, wait a minute. We're waiting for what might as well be called the Willie Mays Classic in 2 days. Willie always got up for the big game, the big event, the reunion, his birthday celebrate, whatever. Physically and mentally, he always, till his final year, got up for the big event. And this time he took a pass. And it took me a while to figure out why, you know, and maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. But it's like, okay, I got y'all to Birmingham. And he did. Major League Baseball, the whole industry was there to celebrate the Negro Leagues, to celebrate Willie Mays. And for Willie, it was, hey, I'm good. Celebrate the people who came before me who didn't get the chance that I did. Celebrate those, you know, who because of the color of their skin, you know, were denied Major League Baseball. And it said, oh, you know, typical Willie. He didn't need the fuss. He didn't need, you know, I'm talking about Barry. He didn't need the attention or the glory because, you know, he's lived it all. He had it all. It's like, okay, this is my time. 2 days before he was going to be honored at Rickwood in Birmingham where he played, it was like a full circle moment. He said, okay, I'm done. You know, I'll pass it on to you guys. And it was so emotional and touching and, you know, you're teary-eyed and trying to get through the day and interview these scholars and others and putting the final touches on a Willie Mays obituary. He was 93. Okay. He was 93 and he had some physical issues, but you just figured, hey, this is Willie Mays. And I remember talking to him a couple of years ago, typical Willie, you know, he doesn't even wink or smile or laugh. He says, yeah, I think I got a good, you know, solid 20 more years.
That's great.
And I believed him. I figured, yeah, you're Willie Mays, you know, you're going to live forever.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I just mentioned really quickly, because I wrote this at the time, that he's same age as my dad. And my dad passed a little over a year ago. Mm. And I always connect those. They spoke alike. They were so similar, those two guys.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Guys, I just put Willie in that. In that almost same, you know, obviously my dad is not Willie Mays, but it just felt like that to me, obviously. So anyway, let's a quick detour. John, let's wrap this up with a version of a question I ask everybody. Thank you so much for that memory. But John Shea, maybe this is a similar kind of category here. What's your favorite book right now?
Well, because it's Willie Mays Day and every day is Willie Mays Day.
Yeah.
Let's discuss, his, you know, he's from Birmingham. Willie McCovey was from Mobile. Mm-hmm. And the great Chris Haft wrote this ultimate biography, A Giant Among Giants, that just came out. And it's great. He spoke with tons of people. Mm-hmm. And more than that, he interviewed McCovey a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of fascinating because McCovey never wanted a book. We talk about Willie Mays being humble and not wanting the attention. Well, McCovey was that times 10.
Yep.
He refused documentaries. He refused book offers, including from Chris Haft. So Chris honored that and said, you know, he could have written an, you know, unauthorized biography if he wanted. But he said, okay, you don't want one? That's fine. Okay, I won't write one. But then a few years after Willie McCovey dies, Chris went to his daughter, Allison, and said, what do you think? And Allison gave her blessing. And so Chris put together this awesome book. And Allison has had some assistance in it. And the chapters are great. It just brings the reader back to his life and his legend and his career. Playing in the shadow of Willie Mays. I mean, all those guys did. The Alou brothers and Cepeda and Marichal. They were all great players, but there was one Mays. And this book finally brings to light McCovey's life and McCovey's career, because we've heard so much about, you know, Mantle and Mays and Aaron and Banks and all these guys. But McCovey was a few years younger. And for the first time, his story is nicely told by Chris Haft. And I really love this book.
Excellent recommendation. Willie McCovey was, you know, just a towering figure in a lot of lives, right alongside Willie Mays. That is just incredible the Giants had them both. And it's such a incredible tapestry of stars that they've had here.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's connect it back to, it connects back to Tim Lincecum, to Barry Bonds, to Buster Posey, and now maybe to Rafael Devers. Mm-hmm. So way to go, John Shea. Great to have you. Always great discussion for this first episode of Warriors Plus. I'm sorry, Giants Plus Minus. I can't even joke about it correctly. Giants Plus Minus will not exist unless somebody wants to decide to give us $100,000 a year to do it. Then we might
Let's
be able
do
to
it.
Otherwise, I'm a little tied up in podcasts, John Shea. So
I think you and me and Kerry Crowley and Danny Emmerman will have fair and foul.
Fair
That'll
and
be
foul.
Our podcast. Fair or foul.
I think Kenny Rosenthal might have some of that one. No, anyway, we will see what I think. There will be a standard sports podcast, but it will not be on this feed. It will be on the San Francisco Standard. Mm-hmm. John Shea, as I've mentioned to some baseball people, you are the great up and comer that we've hired, this youngster right out of school. And I think you're going to be somebody someday. All right, everybody. Say goodbye, John. That's the show for today.
Thank you, Tim.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.